It is the word that God has spoken, not that brother so-and-so has spoken or sister so-and-so, but it's the word that God has spoken. And that word is power. That word will achieve what God has sent it out to achieve without our joining and without our working it up. That word is power. That word is power. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now our Father, you take your pleasure this morning and do that work that only you can do. Let us not be the same as when we came in this morning. Let your word take root within us, Lord, and produce fruit to your pleasure. Open up reality to us, Father. The reality that is there that we're not observing. And let us see truth. In Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. For us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things. And we exist for him. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and we exist through him. This will be our last week on this verse, and I'd like for us to concentrate our attention on this phrase, through whom are all things, and we exist through him. Turn, if you will, into the book of John. Let's look real quick at the first three verses. I have a couple of passages of scripture I want us to look at. John 1. Beginning with the first verse says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. This is the final communication of God. We read over in Hebrews, the first chapter, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, has spoken to us in his Son. The last, the final communication from God is Jesus Christ. All that God has said or ever will say, he has already spoken. Anything further is merely commentary on what God has said in Jesus. He is the final word from God. He is the living Word of God. He is God in a form that we can see and touch and hear. He is God in the fullness of his being, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And anything that God has to say, he has said in Jesus. It is the last word. Now, before Hebrews said, God spoke to us in many ways, through the prophets. And it's almost as though the writer is saying, now long ago, in the former days, God spoke to us in the language of prophets. But in these last days, the last days of the way of doing things that way, God has spoken to us in the language of Son. Now God speaks to us in Jesus Christ, and only there. That's why that no man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him, and no man comes to the Father except he comes through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the final spoken word of God. And he said he made him, he appointed him, heir of all things, whom he also, through whom he also made the world. Jesus has been appointed the heir of all things. We've discussed before, how can one be an heir of something that belongs to him? All things belong to him because God created all things through Jesus Christ. He is the Word, you understand. And when the Bible says God said, that's he said it. The pre-incarnate Jesus Christ is the spoken Word of God. And God said it, and that was Jesus. Jesus is the Word. And so through him all things were created. But more than that, he has been appointed heir of all things, so all things belong to him. He is heir because he has earned it. It has fallen to him by right of succession. He became a man, took upon himself human nature and all of his creation in human kind. He himself became a man and was willingly obedient to the Father in every respect, even to the obedience of the death of the cross. And because he was completely obedient to the Father and never failed God in one place, it was illegal for death to hold him. So he raised from the dead by the power of the Spirit of God that indwelt him fully and completely, and was given all things because he has now earned it. The book of Revelation, if you'll turn over to the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, gives us these two songs that have been sung. These songs have never been sung before. These are new in time, not only new songs, but new in time. It says in Revelation 4, in the 11th verse, backing up to the 9th verse, and the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever. We know he who sits on the throne is the Lord Jesus Christ, because when he ascended on high and led captivity captive, he turned and gave gifts to men, and he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And the 24 elders will fall down before him. He sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And that's Jesus, who ever lives to make intercession for us, casting their crowns before him. And they will say, this is a song that they sing, "Worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created." This is the why of the universe. Why is the universe here? Why are all things as they are? Because it gave him pleasure. It was his good will to do it. And then the second song that is sung is in Revelation 5. You'll find that in verse 9. It says, and they sang a new song, a song that had never been sung before. It says, "Worthy art thou to take the book, to break its seals, for thou wast slain, and did purchase for God with thy blood from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Are you waiting to go to heaven by and by when you die? Well, I hate to mess up your theology, but you're not going to heaven by and by. We are going to reign on earth. Heaven is the abode of God, and that abode of God will be right here on a renewed earth. It will be mankind as God had always intended them to be, in a real heaven, which is a real earth. Don't think you're going to go to hell either. That's a state. Now, all my Baptist friends will rise up and have a hissy fit, but I won't argue with them because it doesn't say too much about it. But do know this. Heaven isn't limited to a place, and neither is hell. Both of them start here. It is, whether it's an actual locality, a geography, I have no idea. That's the only way I can think of it, because that's the only way I can think is time and space. But whatever it is, I know that heaven is right here. We're going to reign and rule here on this earth, not this particular terra firma, because the scripture said it's going to melt with fervent heat and explode, and the word that the Greek uses over in 1 Peter means the splitting of the atom. It's going to be destroyed. But that new heaven and new earth, wherein dwells righteousness, is what we're looking for. Not some ethereal something with streets made out of gold. That's just baby talk, in order that we can understand that even the riches that we have on here on earth, the best we can imagine, will be nothing but just pavement there. I mean, in that state and in that place, wherever and whatever it is, it will be a real, real reigning that God has called us to do. He said it's going to be on the earth, a renewed earth. So it belongs to Jesus Christ. Not only because he created it, but because he entered into his creation, took upon himself that which had separated us from him, died as that sin and put it away forever, rose from the dead because it was illegal for death to hold him, ascended to the Father, received the abiding promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, turned and gave it to us, and then sat down, indicating it's a finished work, at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now it belongs to him because he earned it. He has both inherited it as man, and it belongs to him as Creator God. So therefore, all things were not only made by him, but are sustained through him and were for him. Now, if you look over in Ephesians 3:9, I forgot what that is, but I marked it down. Let's have a look at it. Ephesians 3:9. To bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. Well, I think in King James it says in Jesus, maybe. What does it say?
By Jesus Christ.
By Jesus Christ, who created all things. All things were spoken into existence by him, for he is the speaking word of God. It's shown to us in Colossians, and this is where I'm working down to get to, by the way. Colossians, the second chapter. Beginning with the 15th verse. And he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He is the firstborn of all creations. Firstborn not in chronological order, but in preeminence of importance. He is the firstborn, that which is the first in order of importance. He is the firstborn, for by him all things were created, both things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him. Now you will understand that all things means all things. That means evil as well. All things have been created by him. It wasn't that he created evil to do evil, but evil had its opportunity to express itself, and it did. God created all things. It's a hard saying, but he did. He just plain did. He created all things. All devils, all angels, all powers could never have come into existence except by our God. Now, I don't attempt to explain it or to excuse it. I just say that it's so. All things. And I want you to know it bothers my theology as much as it does yours, but he did. He said he created all things. He created, he said in Isaiah 54, the destroyer to destroy. He created the destroyer, the waster, to destroy. That's right. All things were created by him. Look at Psalm 76:10. This is not the weak, emaciated, feminine, golden-haired, sweet-toed, sweet Jesus. This is God. This is God, awesome and fearful. Now, I venture to say, I've said it before, if you've never been scared of God, you've never really seen him. He's frightening. He is awful. It is in Jesus that we've been brought nigh and near to him, that we might call him Abba. But just as true as the fact is that he is our Father, so is the fact that he is our God, and he's awesome, and he is the frightening God. He reduces us to our state as a creature. We are before him, the uncreated God, those that he has created. And it is that which has so escaped our notice in recent years. We've gotten so settled into and enjoyed so much our approachable God that we've forgotten he is to be feared. It is the beginning of wisdom to fear God. He is holy God. He is other. He is different from us. He'll never be just like us. You can never say that we are the same. He'll always be God. I may have mentioned to you before, I heard John Green said that Moses was the kind of man that could sit and talk and argue with God face to face. But there came a time when God was God and Moses was Moses. And we need to know who we are. The church needs to know that as much as anything else. But friends, I want you to know, we need to know who we aren't too. We need to know who we aren't. The psalm says in Psalm 76:10, for the wrath of man shall praise thee, with a remnant of wrath thou shalt gird thyself. The wrath of man shall praise thee, with a remnant of wrath. Do you realize that the devil is God's devil? He made him, and he is his tool. And he can do no more than God will permit him to do. And would do a lot more if God let him get away with it. And he is a created being, and that created being will glorify God by being what he was created to be, and that is the devil. The wrath of wicked men will praise God. The assault of the enemy will praise God. He says he weighs and takes things, he weighs the nations and as the small dust of the balance. That after you threw assaying and weighing, you go and you move, it's just a little old dust that came off of the stone. The best that we are. God has spoken all things into existence and is himself outside and above all that he has spoken. He is fearful and fearsome, and we need to be reintroduced to the holiness of our God. When Moses saw him, he fell on his face like a dead man. When Daniel saw him, he fell on his face like a dead man. Isaiah was woeing everybody in town. You go back to Isaiah 5. He says, woe are you that do this, and woe are you that do that, and woe are you that do that. And in verse chapter 6, he got a look at the Most High, and he says, woe is me. That's what's happening to me this summer. I've been woeing everybody for years. And all of a sudden, I put my hand on my mouth, and I said, woe is me. When Daniel saw him, he fell on his face like a dead man. There was no strength remained in him, he said. So the best he could do was get up on his hands and knees, and then he had to be strengthened to do that. When John saw him, he fell on his face. The book of Revelation. This is the one that was the closest to Jesus, the one that called him by his first name, the one that walked with him for 3 years, the one that leaned the closest to him, sat next to him at all the dinners. But when he saw the risen, resurrected, glorified Christ, he fell on his face. Friends, Jesus isn't the same as when he walked the streets of Nazareth. He isn't the same one that trod the dusty roads. He's God. He is uncreated creator God, glorified God. Nobody walks up and shakes his hand. Nobody says, I'll shake the hand of the man of Galilee. No, friend. Nobody says, build my mansion next door to Jesus. No, thank you. Nobody's going to put their arm around him. We're going to fall on our faces like dead men. He is God. And we need to be reintroduced or introduced to the holiness of God. There was a time when the holiness of God was preached so exclusively that we had a God that was so distant we couldn't even come close to him. It was removed from us. But honey, we got so familiar in the past few years, we're buddies. And it's disgusting. Because it's not true. It is an absolute disgusting. God is not your buddy. He's your father. But he's not your buddy. He's holy. And quite frankly, I don't even know what that means. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what that means. I'm learning. God's holy. He's other. Other, completely other. I find that everything there is in me is completely opposite to God. The things I think are funny, he thinks are disgusting. The things I think are smart, he says are stupid. The things I think are restful, he says are absolute garbage. The things I think are wonderful, he says you haven't seen them. That's nothing. I settle for what tickles my fancy and tickles my ears and pleases me. Let my flesh puff itself up. I find 95% of my prayers are nothing but my elaborating to myself in egotistical admiration how marvelous I am. My request for God or to God for the blessings that I desire in him are nothing more than what I can clothe my ego with. I say, Lord, let me see the power of God. For what? So that I can experience it. So that I can feel it. So that I can have an experience. So that I can feel wonderful. So that I can be so of such help to other people. Lord, allow me to minister the word of God. Why? So they'll think I'm so wonderful. They'll say, oh, she's so deep. Oh, if I could just be like her. I want to go to the meeting. Why? So that I can see something I can be entertained. No, I don't watch the TV. I don't care anything about that. I don't want to entertain my flesh at the TV. I'll take it down to the church house and entertain it there. Maybe just so-and-so will lay hands on me and prophesy and I'll get a goosebump or two. It's a wonderful meeting. I don't care about the old fellow that comes in off the road and smells so bad I don't want to sit next to him. I don't care anything about that woman sitting over there that's silently crying. Whose husband's left her, got a bunch of kids and not enough money to take care of, she don't know where to turn next. I said, oh, bless the Lord. If you don't see me knocking on the front door, You don't see me taking a sack of groceries. You don't see me staying up all night praying and interceding on her behalf so she can get some sleep and I'll do the intercession. We're in bad shape. We got a lot of talk and no walk. We gather up in little cubbies, and the women are the worst. We gather up little cubbies. We get a sweet little word, nice little testimony. Nothing too threatening, you understand. Just do something that makes us feel good. We want to hear how God blessed each other. We don't want to hear how God has stripped one another. So we all come up, my hair nicely done, and my teeth brushed, and we sit down and smile at one another. And inside we're dying. Inside we're dead. Inside we're grasping at straws. We don't know who's going under for the third time. We don't care. Don't disturb the meeting. If you got to see that, get you right there in the room where you won't disturb the flow of the Spirit. And dead shape. When dead shape.
Something like there's a time for both, like it says Abraham was in friend
with God. I'm not denying that at all. But I am saying this, you can't be a friend to God until you know that he's the Holy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that was going to come to
There is. It says in Colossians rather, it says he is rather all things have been created by him and for him. Even wrath is for him. Even wickedness is for him, because it will glorify him by expressing itself for what it really is. All things are for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Everything is being sustained by God. When you think as far as you can think and get on the other side of where you can think, what's over there? That's God. And you can go as far as you can go in this direction. And you end where you can't go anymore. What's that? God. He's bigger than we can think, which we don't also do too much of these days. How long has it been? Come on, I don't tell me, but you think honest. How long has it been since you sat down and sat in the presence of God, not asking him anything, not telling him anything, and just thought about him? Just think about him. Think about his omnipresence. He's everywhere at the same time. Think of his omniscience, that he knows everything. Think about his all power, that there is nothing beyond him. Think about the fact that there is God. When the universe stops, there's God, and that it never ends. And think about the fact that his heart is toward us in kindness and in goodness. That his mercies are new every morning. That he never, never changes. That he cannot lie. It's not that he won't lie, he can't. That his goodness knows no end. That all things belong to him and will praise him and worship him, either by choice or because they are made to. That he knows where every mosquito is, where every bug is, where every little piece of thistle that floats on the wind is, where every little sparkle of drop of water is. Says all the beasts of the field are mine and are with me in my mind. All things are his. All things belong to him. All things are spoken into being by him and for his pleasure. And on the crown of all of that, he created man. And all things adore him and worship him by being what they were created to do, whether good or evil. Only man must choose. And all things were made as a setting for man, and he placed us in it. And we take our fist in his face and say, I don't need you. I don't even want you. I see no longing for God in his people. No longing for God. Longing for God is a 24-hour thing. We don't want God more than we want sleep. We don't want him more than we want food. We don't want God for himself. We want him for ourselves and for what we can benefit. But it's coming back. It's coming back. I want you to know that there is a fire that burns in me. And it didn't just get lit, but it's been fanned lately. It's been fanned. And I want God, the one who created all things. I really do. I want him with or without the blessing. Now, there's a lot of people who don't like that. A lot of people don't understand it. It's so. I want him with or without the blessings. I want him with or without the notoriety. I want him with or without anything accompanying him. But I know that too, but I want to see God. I've seen a lot. That's a lot I hadn't seen, but I've seen a representative lot in the body. And none of it has satisfied me. Have you satisfied you? Then last, does it? And I find that about 50% of the time I'm scratching around to get down to the meeting. I need to be back there in my back bedroom with my door closed, on my face with the Word open before me, meeting with God. That's where I need to be. That's where my benefit is. Then when I do go to the meeting, I've got something to go with instead of to go get. But God's moving. God is moving. And I'm finding hungry hearts. I'm finding real hungry people. He says this, he said, he's the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might have first place in everything. In everything. In everything. In everything. We've taken the precious ministry of the Holy Spirit and we've exalted him above Jesus Christ. And Jesus said he won't speak of himself. He'll come to show the things of man. But we've been so excited over the power of God that we don't have any time for God. Jesus Christ is in preeminence in everything. And you can argue with me if you want to, but he is not in preeminence among the body today. He just is not. Healing, deliverance, the gift, the Word itself, new things, interesting things, truth revealed, anything is exalted over the person of Jesus Christ himself. If you want to be sick, you go back and read some of the reporting of the Welsh revival around the turn of the century. I tell you, friend, I found out there are some people who have known what prayer is and who have known what the move of the Spirit is, and we haven't seen it. You mark it down, we haven't seen it. I don't care what you've seen, you hadn't seen it. I hadn't seen it. I hadn't seen it in my life. Oh, my God, I'm not going to settle for anything less. I'm not going to settle for anything less. You're right, sister, it's going to cost. And that scares me sickly when I think about it. Because I have no idea what it is. The worst I can think, that's not it. The currency in the kingdom is self-life. We can't deny ourselves anything. We can't deny ourselves air conditioning. We can't deny ourselves food. We can't deny ourselves entertainment and pleasure. Start looking around. Start observing. Start in your life. How many of you have a copy of Fox's Book of Martyrs? Well, get down and dust it off. Go get you one. You go read about those old brothers that were tied to the stake because they would not say that the body and blood of Jesus was present in the sacrament. You go find out where they were strapped. Of all kinds, when God showed the truth of that matter to them, they'd be tied to a post and have the faggots put up around them. And how they'd sing and pray and praise God until their mouths, no sound would come out of it, and it'd be engulfed in the flames. It didn't cost us nothing. We hadn't paid a thing. Nothing. It never cost me anything. It hadn't cost me anything. And I think what a wonderful Christian I am and how deep I am. And we're not. We're not. But this is going to cost us. To know God in the way that I see He can be known, cost us. We may not have to burn, but our flesh will. Mm-hmm. Fire is fire. It's going to burn us. And nobody's going to know that much. We won't even get the notoriety, the pleasure. Won't hardly be known. It won't be something you can go to the meeting and talk about. It won't be something you'll testify about. And if you do try to, half of them there won't understand what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But it's coming. God is raising Himself up a group of people who will lay everything on the line down to physical life. I discovered that isn't so hot. Just being alive physically isn't the greatest thing there is. God is raising Himself up a group of people that He's making them so thirsty and so dry that they'll go against the tide. To be brought to where the Spirit of God can use them. I don't know of anybody that's scared of my prayers. If you get ready. Yeah. You get ready. You don't need to be afraid right now. I got that much power in prayer as a Betsy bug pushing over a daisy. I'm lying. Takes time. And time is something that I have plenty of. In this life or in the one to come. And time before God is required. The scripture said the people saw His mighty acts of power, but Moses knew His ways. Now I'm to know the ways of God. I'm not satisfied with His power anymore. His acts of power aren't enough. There'll be enough for most. I realize that. But there's some of us. So we're getting sick of the acts of power. We've gone all around that mountain and we've circled it a few times. And we're ready to see our God. We're ready to praise Him out of a pure heart and to dance before Him with joy. To be loosed from everything that ties us and entangles us, to be those that flow upstream, to be those that are drawn by the person, the magnitude of our God into Himself. There's an aching hunger that is abroad, an aching hunger. And every time the Lord satisfies it, it makes me hungrier. So what He is doing, He is doing it. And our only choice is, will we be open for him to make a way in us, or will we not? For all things were not only created by him, but they were for him. And he has the right to do as he chooses to do. Our God, whose words break like a hammer, Jeremiah said. Our God, who speaks and the world, the universe, trembles and shakes. Our God, who gathers us up to him like a mama chicken gathering her babies. Our God, who lifts us up and rides us on his shoulders like a mama Indian does a puppy's baby. This one, who is our God and can be trusted in life through death forever. This one has the preeminence, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his precious blood. I like to say it. It tastes good on my tongue. You know, I've read the Word for years, and I realize that I've read the Bible all my life like I was running a marathon. You know, I was reading with Marilyn, or reading with Malcolm, or got to get through those chapters. And I discovered that's not the way to read the book. The way to read the book, low, sweet Catholic woman lived back, 400 years or so, has taught me how to read the book. She says, you take the book and you read and you taste it. We give thanks to thee, O God. We give thanks for thy name is near. And then you listen to the sound of it echoing deep down in the corridors of your heart. And then you read it again. We give thanks to thee, O God. We give thanks for thy name is near. What is near? His name. What is his name? Well, his name is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, the provider. Provides all things. He is the source of all. His name is Jehovah Rapha, which just doesn't say, I'll heal you. It says, if you obey all, then I will be Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, your help. Not just your healer, but your help. His name is Jehovah Tetzkin, the Lord our righteousness, while we're utterly bankrupt. And he's our righteousness. All that he requires, he provides. He is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner. Over me he raises the flag of love. And he sets me at his banqueting table and he says, eat, oh, eat this. Have some of this. Have another helping. Open taste this. And he flies over me the standard of his love and his affection. It's a covering over me. His name is lifted up higher than his word. No. His word is lifted up higher than his name. And his name is near. And his word encompasses and covers me in order that by its light I might see the one whose name is near. He is his name. Oh, no wonder I give thanks to you. I'll thank you, Lord. I'll sing a song to you. And let my song be my thanks. Because after I've said thanks, well, I've said thanks. Let me sing a song of thanks. Thank you, Lord, for being my provider. Thank you, Lord, for the health of my body. Thank you, Lord, that you are what you require of me. Thank you, Lord, I sit under your tree and you cover me with love. Thank you, Lord. You are the great provision. Thank you, Lord. You are my source, my all. I thank you, Lord. You are the one I long for. I thank you, Lord. You satisfy my all. I thank you, Lord. You're the answer to my questions. I thank you, Lord. I live among the answers. I thank you, Lord. You are the all I want. You call to me. I answer you. We are one. I thank you, Lord, because your name is near. I give you thanks, O Lord, and men will declare your wondrous works. Oh, when I select an appointed time, not just a time, but an appointed time, a special time, it's his name here. It's like when he stood at the door of the bedroom, and he says, come. And I said, that's why I can't do it now. I've got to go to church. So I'll go. And I come home and he says, come here. And I said, oh, Lord, I can't come now. I've got to wash these dishes and get these kids to bed. And I got all that taken care of. And he said, come here. I said, well, I can't right now. I've got to read the Bible. So I read that. And he said, hey, you finished? And I said, I'm all through, Lord. Done everything. He said, well, come on in here. I said, Lord, I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. Could we do this in the morning? Can we talk tomorrow morning? I get up early. And we'll have just for you and me. And for 41 years, I put him off. And then one day, I set aside. I didn't. He set aside an appointed time. He said, okay. I said, oh, Lord. He said, no, you don't have to go in place. I said, it's all right. He said, come on over here. I said, well, you know, there's stuff to do. He said, well, you can't do it right now. You're over here. It'll get done later on. I said, well, you know, Lord, need to study the Bible. So I studied the Bible. It's like one day we'll get. Find all kind of new interesting things, but I didn't find him. And he said, hey, close that book. You've read more, studied more, and taught more than you can remember in all your lifetime, no matter how many more years you live. Why don't you come over here with me? So since I didn't have anything else to do, I did. And I fidgeted. And I fidgeted if I called somebody. Because I just want to exhort them, you know, Lord, encourage them. And I got there, hung that up, and I sat there, and I fidgeted, and I doodled with the paper. So I bought my tape recorder the next day. Did I get in with the Lord? No. I had some good teaching. Told me about God. But there he was sitting. He said, come on over here. So finally I said, well, I don't have anything else to do. Had a little tape recorder at home. The book doesn't mean anything to me. I just seem to close it up. So I sat down with God. I couldn't think of anything to say. And then I was so distracted. There was so much noise. And I discovered it was coming outside of me. My thoughts were roaring. And it took me a lot of days. And I took that and I said, shh, be quiet. And I think, oh Lord, you're so boring. You're so boring. I mean, you don't even say anything. You're just sitting there. And he smiled. Finally, I got the volume turned down. And I'd say, Lord, I'm opposing this. I said, Lord, let me ask you something. Just about you by yourself, I've been wanting to make this.
said, well, we sure are wasting our time, Lord. Because it's kind of price. And I'd get myself worked up, and I'd really start praying. And my sound of my voice echoed in my own ears. I said, isn't that right, God? And one day I got still. And I realized that my stillness was thanking God. My stillness is praising God. My stillness is requesting of God. But I was praying. And I wasn't saying prayer. And it was so quiet. Where he is so quiet. And you see, I was looking for him here. Or here. Or here. But he's not any of those places. He's here. And in here, there's such a place of feathered darkness, but still quiet. And you get so still that you don't want to move. Because you can hear the cells of your body cracking. And the awesomeness of God begins to billow up. And you get so excited. Oh, I'll praise you, Lord. We've got an appointed time. I'll praise you. And then I get scared. Hearing the sound of my own voice frightens me. And I say, shh, quiet. And suddenly, that thing that I've been aching for all my life, the voice of God, is speaking. And it rumbles and it roars, but I didn't hear a thing. But it's speaking to me. And I get tired. My shoulders get tired. I find myself, don't have that. You don't have to be tired. And you're not physically, you'll be quiet. But to get still before God is to allow yourself to soak up the radiance of his person. And just like the old priest would leave out of the holy place, and when he put that incense on the altar of incense, it would take into his hair and his clothes. And when he walked out into the open court, the people would say, yep, that's God. I find that as I walk about now, people are smelling me, and they say, that's God. They say, what's the matter with you? Something's happened to you. Where have you been? What have you been doing? I said, nothing. I said, oh, well, you've got to get back on the circuit. I've been on the circuit. I almost, hot-wired myself a few times. God, the order of his being is within us. Turn your eyes deep into your spirit, into that place that is the core of your being, that place which is totally dark, that place which is totally silent, that place which is filled with the awesome rumbles of the being of God, and hold yourself there and listen. And you'll get to hear the heartbeat of God himself. The primeval, before there was anything, throb of the person of God. And then you leave. And you go to the meetings. And you say, oh God, what's happening here? What's happening here? It's only after I entered that quiet place that I saw how empty I am. It's only there that you find reality, that you find the God we've been searching for everywhere. We've looked for him. We have hunted for him. We've put forth our efforts to find him. And he was there all the time. He was right there. But I was too busy. I was too important for God. I invite you this week to be introduced to God, the one that saved you, the one that delivered you, the one that healed you, the one that sustained you. Get to know him. He's frightening. So comfortable. He's alive. He's more alive than life is. He's alive. Paul said, that I might know him. That I might know him. I've wanted to know him all my life. And all I've ever done is know about him. That's all I've ever done. And I just met him. He's alive. And he fills everything with himself. And he holds us softly and firmly. And we're secure. We are secure. And there is no devil, there is no demon, there is no contrary thing that can touch us. Because we're held by him. And all that comes is taken in the crucible of who he is and becomes life to us. The very test that comes against us is turned into life. I say, Lord, I can say these things. How can I say these things? Revelation says, oh Lord, Revelation says in chapter 3, says, the Amen, chapter 14, verse 14, 3:14, the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Oh, that's him. That's him. He says, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were one or the other, cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich. Hallelujah. I have become wealthy, praise the Lord. I have need of nothing. And you poor thing, you don't know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. We say, we've got it. If you can't get it at our church, it can't be gotten. We got it. We haven't scratched the surface. We haven't begun. And it's exciting to know that there is so much that we haven't even discovered. We haven't dreamed existed. He said that there were more things than you could ask or think that could come into your imagination. I've got a pretty good imagination, but I never dreamed this. I never imagined the greatness, the awesomeness of God himself. And he tells it to me in silence. And his silence speaks so loud, it rattles my brain. And his silence speaks so softly, that I feel warm and comforted. I don't want to ever leave it. And I'm learning to retreat into silence. To retreat into silence. Oh my. Lord, we bless you. Oh Lord, I'm so helpless to say what I want to say. And you know, I suspect I'm saying more than I've actually walked in. Oh, but Lord, lead us into yourself. Lead us into the silence of your vastness, oh God. Lead us into the joy. Lead us into the rest, to the pure delight of your being. Strip us, God. Strip us, Lord Jesus. In mercy, strip us. Take our toys from our fingers. Fill our hands with the praises and glory of your own person. Bring us into life. I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord Jesus. I receive of your love. I revel in your love, oh God. I rest myself in it. Deal with me after mercy, Father, and in gentleness, but do it sure. And when I begin to cry and to moan and ask you to stop, please ignore that. Do that work of your pleasure. Let your holy name be vindicated. Let your holy name be held in awful, tender love. In the name of Jesus, sweet, sweet name. Amen. Oh my goodness. Well, I guess I'll teach that next time. I didn't teach you today, and I recognize that. There are things that I need to share so desperately, and I can't. Words are such a pitiful excuse for communication. Such a pitiful excuse for communication. No.
It's interesting, I thought he was saying, you know, about the phone rang twice before.